Black Awakening is not my term. I think that truly, from all the descriptions I've been given through all the other ones we've dealt with, the idea of the Red Horse or the Great Revolt in 2 Thessalonians 2. There is in no military, no political structures, there is no such thing as having a political structure without that military force. You have to, even in a coup, you have to have a force that's going to come and bring about regime change. So, in this twilight of fallen human history. And the reason I say that in Matthew 24, how do we know? Because Jesus says, when he describes all those things, in verse 25 he says, when all of these things are on the table at the same time, not when just one or two of them, but when all of these things are on the table at the same time in history, then you know it's very end, you know, the very end. 1 John 2 says, this is how we know it is the last hour. It describes that. Not only the many antichrists, but the antichrist that will be making his appearance. I think that that prayer is... if you look in the book of Acts and see what God has done, you look back in the Old Testament and see what God has done, you look back at Joshua, you look back in the days and see what God has done, we need to really be committed to saying, God, teach us to see the extraordinary and become very powerful in prayer. Acts 2, 4, 6, and 8 are good examples of that. God is enormous, but our sadness in leaving pastoring after 30 years and going out and doing all of this full time, in going to many, many churches on a Sunday morning, the average prayer time in the churches that we were going to and visiting was 18 seconds to 38 seconds of thank you prayers for the day, for the offering, for the ending of the service. In none, there is no 30 minutes of massive intercession using authority and warfare prayer against. The church in Sedalia invited me to come down. They said, Russ, we heard you talk about that, and we feel bad. Our church, 48 seconds in prayer, and the entire worship service, though they're a very on fire church. We want you to do what you said. Okay, so we got up and we went through this sequential prayer of releasing intercession, souls, the city, the people, the leaders, the names of their own family. We went through this whole litany of just unleashing prayer for healing and God's gifts and workings and God's power. And then we acknowledged the authority of Christ and we prayed against dark powers in the air and on the ground. And that went on for almost 30 minutes and they were so revved up. That church was not boring for a second. God's felt manifest presence was there and it was powerful. And they were ready. And it's amazing to me, we can watch Muslim mosques, they understand, the Shahada, they understand bowing down, they understand. And real power operates through that. The laws of engagement are the same. You open up to the dark side and yield to its prescriptions, and you'll get powers and workings and so forth coming through. You know, when it comes to prayer, if you and I are not going to become strong and powerful in prayer, let's ask the questions why. Why wouldn't we want to? Ask, you receive, seek, you'll find, knock, the door will be open to you. We already talked about that. This is vital in this hour. As it was in the book of Acts, as they learned to pray to advance the cause of Christ, all of the book of Acts, a 30-year history, shows miracles and signs and wonders, angels that showed up to open up, you know, the door for Peter to get out, an earthquake that cracked open doors for Paul and Silas to get out. Astounding things occurred. But their prayer level was intense and big and central. The only way for a new order to come is to power is for the old one to be removed. Regime change. Chaos before a new order. Psalm 2 is a kind of evangelistic message, but a warning and a questioning of why the world's going to move that way. The new order, Revelation 13, we talked about that. The interesting words used is anabano. For the Antichrist, it is an apocalypse. The one that's already behind the scenes, he just has an unveiling. He cannot have an apocalypse if he doesn't already exist and is not already on the field. There is no anabano of a multinational, multicontinental system unless it already exists. Revelation 13, before it rises to power with its kings, you know, connected, it must pre-exist as shadow government, shadow military, and Antichrist has to have a big checkbook. Where's all the money go? Follow the money. Revelation 13, the prediction is it will rise. Quick, just rises. It is connected. Its system is connected. Its leader is connected. It is political. It is militaristic. It is financial. Inseparable from the beast himself. It will rise from pre-existence. And God says, like a leopard, like a bear, like a lion. That's not referring to nations. With the speed of a leopard, the thunderous power of a bear, and the loud, the idea of roaring. That goes back to Daniel. Revelation 13 and Daniel fit very clearly together. It'll be an unequaled system of fierce satanic evil. It will be in place long before it bursts into power. It will be in place as a shadow system longer than it will operate as a visible government. It only has, once it rises, less than 7 years, and it'll be hanging down. The system must have political, financial, military force. No system can come to power without troops. I believe those troops, a master race, has been a spiritual design from Old Testament days all the way down through the spiritually driven in the area of the Nazi world and so forth and everywhere across the board. But I'm also going to tell you that in our venture to the underworld, in a sense, the SRA, MPD, DID issues are far beyond that. In my opinion, if you count all four generations, the first generation, United States, Canada, Australia, England, Ireland, Europe, and even into Russia now, first generation has to be around 40 million. It's astounding. Even the concept of the beginning ones called monarch. You know monarch butterfly? It's one of the only creatures that has migrated to every continent on the world. There's a reason behind that, that designation. 100 million first generation. That they're inseparably linked to the Lebensborn issue, but go far beyond that. Persons who have been forged to become the actual troops of Antichrist himself. 100 million. You can disagree with that. You can say, I'm going to check you out, Russ. I don't believe that. We're going to dumb that down and say 10 million. Okay. Who has a national standing army of 10 million? Anybody? Maybe who maybe China? What? Who has 10 million? 10 million. Could you imagine 10 million Jareds, VTech shooters, Holmes? And I don't think they were top of the line. These individuals, when we've seen them switch, turn into their an attack, there's no conscience. There is no conscience whatsoever. They're bestial. Because of the programming and the freedom that the demonization has, they're bestial. One of these guys that had slaughtered two girls in Deerfield Circle, not too far from here, a few hours, one a 14-year-old girl named Sarah Bain. You can see their pictures on Route 62 going into Alliance. Finally now, the feds have taken over. I've contacted them, contacted and dealt with four law enforcement agencies. And when the guy that killed the 14-year-old on Satanic Revels, by stabbing her over and over and over again, sexually abusing her over and over again, and then finally killing her so that demons could be pulled into the energy of that sacrifice, and then that person can receive that to purify their blood, charge their blood. 1 month later in August, on Demon Rebels, Satanic Rebels, which Demons, Rebels, one Satanic Rebels, a 70-year-old named Kathy Menendez, she's on that billboard, she was left there same way, slaughtered and killed the same way. At that time, I was in law enforcement drawn by an individual that recruited me so that I can teach in the police academy on cult crime and on some of the stuff. What we found out later was it was only so that I could be seen by certain people of what I knew and what I would say. The individual that recruited me is a high complex cult multiple with high power demon presence, speaks multiple languages, out of the military, and they were in charge of the entire ritual abuse crime system of Northeast Ohio at one time. I would sit in the department and this person, this officer, would peck at the computer, you know, and do stuff, and then they would switch to another personality and just turn the monitor to me, mocking me, taunting me, and say, look, it says, you are now being monitored by U.S. military. And they were showing me names different brigadier generals and colonels and so forth. They're all part of the black flame, according to her. The guy that slaughtered the girls showed up at my house. And he was begging me to find out from law enforcement if they knew anything, and that his wife wanted him to find his Phillips screwdrivers and count them to make sure he had them all. Because the internal report showed that the hundreds of stabs came from a Phillips screwdriver. 14-year-old went through 2 hours, and maybe the 17-year-old through about 2 hours of agonizing torture. Because the demons have taught them that raises the energies, and that they can come in and grab a hold of it like rats on garbage. And then when they're there, when you finally kill them, then the demons and the powers can come in. You've appeased them, they'll come in, and they'll come into you. And they came into this man. And when all this occurred, he was abducted, law enforcement came in, there was a telephone call, and they had a tracer on it, and they contacted the feds, and I finally, the call came in, and it was this German-speaking guy yelling at me saying, I'll use the name Bob, that's not his real name, you have ruined Bob, you have tainted his blood, you have messed him up, you have made him sin against the master, and we had to purify his blood. Then in the background we would hear Bob screaming bloody murder. This is all being recorded. Cops all around, because this German wanted to talk, you know, call. They wanted to talk to me. This occurred here, just, you know, 2 hours drive from here. Could take you to the spot. So I finally yelled at the German and said, I hate your master, and I revolt against your master Satan, and I believe in Jesus Christ. And he hung up on me, and the cops got mad. But in 30 minutes, this guy shows up. He walks in the door. His face contorts. The switch occurs, and he attacked me. He had a grip on me, and we're talking now maybe 12, I forget how many years ago it was right then. And I'm not too bad at but it took me three bullets and trying to rebuke the powers that were there all at the same time. Once I got him off, and the other cops are kind of standing, then they're starting to come, then he fights four or five of them. They had to leg chain him and hold his legs down. Detective Granley had his legs. I'm holding his chest. He's cuffed in the back. And then he goes back to his other personality. He looks up as Bob. Pastor Russ, what's going on? What's happening? Where have I been? I've been gone for 2 days. What happened to me? What's going on? And when I'm looking up at the other officer, he goes, watch out. He's trying to bite. And then he switched to the other personality. He tried to bite my face. Then he would go back down. So right in front of all the officers, I just began to rebuke the demonic powers and command them and deal with that and go right and deliverance stuff. And everything got quiet. Everybody backed away. And then this individual, all of a sudden, he leaned all the way up like this, and he screamed in a German-accented, guttural, demonized voice, we are the legions that shall rule the earth. The officers were all blown away by the presence they felt, and I just began to rebuke it. They grabbed him, put him in the cop car, took him to the psych ward. He's out. And it burns our britches. We haven't been able to nail him. We've turned state evidence. We've done all kinds of stuff. We're on it. And these are the kind of guys that have done it once, twice, three times. They need those kind of rituals to recharge the powers that were inherent in their blood from the beginning. They're chosen ones. It all ends with the war. We already went through that. I'm not going to do that over again. The modern phenomena of satanic ritual abuse, multiple personality disorder. Forget the terms. Forget those terms. The 70s are beginning to show up. 80s, tens of thousands. 90s, 2.4 million. By 2002, a secular report in America was 10 million. And I'm saying on a global scale, 100 million went to their children and their children and the fourth generation, which are 5, 6, and 7. A massive emerging threat, because they're able to be programmed and silenced and be sleepers, like in a room like this or in your church. As sleepers, they're just there, and the upfront person can just do whatever else and may be amnesic to what's inside of them, but all they need is one phone call to trigger what's inside and unleash them, and it can happen in a split second. We've been attacked, stabbed at, attempted murder of staff by being triggered and coming out. They're faster, they're stronger, and if we're not aware, we know what it is to lose. We know what it is to be bloodied and bruised and kicked and punched and cars trashed and destroyed and them coming to your home. Forget the terms. They are chosen ones. They are BWBs. Chosen from bloodline, demonized bloodline. Chosen in sexual union at conception. Chosen at birth. Chosen to be a servant of Satan for end times in the New World Order. That's how all of them that we've dealt with. Forcing them, course, mind control, soul control, total control, it is a transmutation. Creation of tares. You know, Jesus goes out to preach the word, and he's the wheat. You know, the people are receiving the word. Jesus says, then someone comes at night, does the exact same thing from the dark side, and begins to sow word and create tares. They split them. Your personality might be like this. I have one human personality, just me. So I can't blame it on Joe or Bob or Sam or Fred inside, okay? It's just me. When the split occurs, then they cause and spy trauma, and then sometimes drugs, sometimes machinery now, but then there's a bonding. We are your masters. We are your creator. We love you. You are of us. Then there is programming, imposition of information, imposition of will, imposition of agenda. Then there is demonizing, summoning power, transferring it on them. Then there is training them. A satanic chosen one has an upfront personality who is programmed to be amnesic, not to know what's inside. They have within them dozens of purposely created subpersons who have jobs, abilities, and special work to do. The subpersons can be called up, triggered, to be used and perform their task. There are assassins, there are sex slaves, infiltrators, disinformation, personalities, denial, priests, priestesses, ritual workers, astral projection, remote viewing, summoning demons to use them, runners, informers, punishers, breeders, containers of secrets, reconnaissance, carrying, nurses, bomb makers, anything that is needed. G. H. Esterbrooks, hailed as one of the greatest psychiatrists, psychologists in the world back in the 40s. Why didn't the psychiatrists, don't they read their own literature? I mean, there are those that do know, but there's a lot of psychiatrists even today, you know, they're like, oh, you know, did you hear Dr. Phil a few about a month and a half ago? He had a real multiple on television. He had one of these real people there. He can only deal with a little fraction of it. But he gets them to say, this is a very rare condition. This is a very rare condition. Nuts. That's crazy. The DSM-3, the DSM-4, the diagnostic manual for the American Psychological Association had to be changed to add this in because of the phenomena. And they changed it in the 4. I don't know what the 5 says. Because why? Every psych ward in America has had these folks since the 70s. Overdone by the 80s and 90s. And just packed. And now their children and their children and grandchildren with multiple personality. That's only the surface issue. That's only the surface thing they're seeing. G.H. Esterbrooks wrote his book. In his book that he wrote working for U.S. military, hey, we've learned how to split a soldier, create a sub-personality. We can train him to be assassin, do reconnaissance, be a spy, give disinformation as he infiltrates a group. We can train him to be anything without the head person knowing. All we had to do is trigger them, send them as a spy somewhere. The sub-personality can give the, you know, do all the stuff and then switch back and the main person not even know. So if they're interrogated, it's not in their memory. They don't know. So if you give them one of those lie detector tests, if the amnesic upfront person takes the test, they don't know. It's not in their memory. It's the sub-persons. Most may be sleepers waiting to be activated. They believe they are the troops of Antichrist. They believe their time is coming soon. Once activated, they will kill assigned targets. They will slaughter randomly. They will create fear, chaos, terror, collapse existing systems, and prepare the way. They believe in a theoron, a hybrid, a super being, a new supernatural superpower, and its supernatural leaders. In my opinion, the theoron beast system, Antichrist, false prophet, are already alive, ready, and raging to unleash. But it's a restrainer that God has put in place for the sake of salvation. God has one singular... The restrainer is restraining by force the sum total of hell's agenda. And God's not sweating. There it is, Bohemian Grove, Smyrnus. There's what they claim that it's the cremation of care with a mock. No. That's just not how it works. Left-hand pathers, the Kralinians know this. I would say verse yourself. You know in the book of Acts there was a threat against Paul and they put him in a basket and got him out of the city? You know that Philip was preaching in one place and he unleashed the gospel in Samaria and people got saved and then he was transported to another city by God and began to unleash the gospel there. Pretty supernatural. And the angel told him, gave direction. The Holy Spirit led him. You notice the book of Acts is this incredible picture of God with his church triumphing and doing so many incredible things. But the book of Acts demonstrates the adaptive approach. The mission never changes, but adapting to the conditions do. And God is in all of it. Whether they're in prison, whether they're at the temple courts, whether they're going to the new area, whether they're going to Athens, whether they're going to whatever place they're going to, the Areopagus, and preaching to the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers, wherever they go. The gospel in front of kings, in the proconsuls. And we will take a break right now because we're going to give you the bigger break here in a few moments. I want to give you this other slide presentation here. We're going to have hours on Sunday to do questions, so keep writing things down. Deeper engagement in spiritual warfare. From beginning to end, it all began that way, it all ends that way. Antichrist is brought down only by a superior spiritual force predicted in Daniel and that system. Genesis 3, it all began there. Revelation 12, listen, that is a huge chapter. It is not I, not to others, not sensationalists, but God unveils to John that the picture of the emerging, manifesting global presence of Satan is like called the huge red dragon. The presence of the dragon is like almost like the father. He's the one that empowers the Antichrist and empowers everything on the ground. It is the dragon and the Antichrist and the false prophet in Revelation 16. Out of their mouths in ritualistic form in a triangulation, the demons are sent to targeted individuals around the world. A planetary release that draws them to the final battle in which their goal is to destroy, annihilate, kill Christ out of the skies. It almost sounds like a movie. But it is the cutting edge intel. Even if you don't believe it, here's the guarantee based on past biblical prophecy. It will happen exactly to the detail as God has said. No prophecy has failed. No detail has failed. Out of 500 of the 1,000 that have already been done. Jesus in the cross stands in the mix of all of this. That is where he brings destruction to the dark side. That is where he, in salvation, breaks the rights of Satan over us. Breaks the sin code and empowers us with a new nature. That's where he breaks the rights of the death code. You know, only Jesus said in front of the tomb of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live, right? Only he says this. Only he demonstrated it. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. Isn't that amazing? It's the same chapter where Jesus wept. Big emotional. I mean, this is a big, deep, thick emotion. He wept. And then he commanded. Why? Because the Creator is the Redeemer in human flesh. Looking at the humans who are weeping and crying at the funeral. Death is an enemy. It is an intrusion. It is an abnormality. We were not meant for this. We were not meant for this. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Death is an enemy to be conquered. Someone wrote the death of death and the death of Christ. Oz Guinness from England wrote that the death and the resurrection of Christ blasts apart the finality of death. The old hippie that got saved on a beach in Florida didn't know how to communicate his salvation very well. He just began to tell all his buddies, man, he says, God did an Ajax job on me. And I'll never have to lie under a casket lid. He is correct. His figures were hippie, but his expression... An Ajax job? I knew when I got saved, I was cleansed instantly, forgiven, utterly forgiven, washed. It's not a cycle. It's all the way. It's head to toe. But I've been freed too, and I'll never have to lie. I've done a lot of funerals as a pastor. A lot of funerals. Seen all those bodies in those caskets. You know what I say at most of the funerals? Those bodies over here, and I'm talking to all the people that are very passive, very... You know, a wedding's hard because everybody's nervous and everybody wants everything done right. It's a big mess. But a funeral, everybody's like, just do everything. We're too sad. So it's everybody's quiet, and the person sitting there, and somewhere in the whole of the message, I always do this. If Joe over here could step out of the casket just for a moment, if God would let them come back for a moment, what do you think they would say? Not that we want to talk to the dead. I have not found one scripture that reveals that anybody that's gone to paradise has said, God, this isn't good. I'm going to go back. Can you imagine what Jesus did on the cross? A thief is dying, and a thief is dying. One mocks, and one turns him in, and acknowledges him, and calls him Lord. And Jesus says to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. So the Phil Collins song, Another Day in Paradise, he's singing the pain, but he doesn't know this. Today you will be with me in paradise, and so he has been for almost 2,000 years. That guy. When I led my grandmother to the Lord, since 1980, she has been there. Paradise is a description. This description of the place. It's huge. It's happy. But all of heaven, its agenda is the salvation of man. When one human being comes to Christ, all of heaven explodes in joy and rejoicing over one human being. If you can understand how an infinite God loves you, see, omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, we're forgetting omni-relational. God is so incredibly relational. It's personal. So that when we are glorified, when it's all done, when everything's done, you know what it says to us later on in Revelation 20, 21? Then we shall see God face to face. And he shall reach out his hand and wipe away the rest of the remaining history, the tears. No pain, no dying, no disease, nothing. It's been consumed. And life with indestructible, irreversible immortality. And it's here. You feel it? All that has to happen is the release and the call and this twinkling of an eye and this exertion of the power. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Same power that brought him in the ascension up. End time targets in Revelation 16. This is an incredible thing to take a look at. Occultists will understand that. They understand the whole underground system understands how to... You know, I don't have it here. The reason they summon demons in all these covens, like the Ezekiel chapter 8 one, the reason is summon demons to get them for yourself, more power and so forth. Summon demons to put into the other ones, the new adepts and so forth that are here. Summon demons, third reason, cover their coven and cloak it in power and secrecy. Fourth reason, summon demons and assign them out after their targets. Go to that pastor, go to this church, go to that person over here, go to this person over here. Summon and send. There's a felt difference in that kind of warfare. And then there's a fifth level. And told this, it made me mad the whole night after I heard this and engaged them again and again and again. The fifth thing is summon them and send them in the air, in the city, to dirty the air, to give them spiritual superiority and bring suppression to everything else. So when you say you feel oppression over a city, there's a reason. On the website we have, there's a 13-14-hour training called Dark Powers, Dark Rituals, how to detect if a real E8, Ezekiel 8 coven is in your city. How to find it. You want to find it? The evidence is in New York is they're here. They talk to the masses, the peoples, global consciousness, the development in moving the entire world. Revelation 12 talks about that, the dragon who leads the whole world astray. They talk of the nations, political ideology, embed luciferic globalism. There is no globalism that is not luciferic in the sense that that which is pushing for the future to change everything, put all nations as one, come under one system that is all guided, that is all completely guided. The inception of the concept from the dark side into the minds, into the ideology, and into the systems. They target the kings of the earth, political, military leaders, to weaponize super military. the call from PS2, Psalm 2, 3,000 years ago. They're going to take their stand against God and against Christ. When Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, that's exactly what he said. When the harpezo, the dead in Christ, rise and we who are alive are caught up, Latin term is rapture, in totally change, do you think it's going to be four of us, five of us left? Is that what it is? Is that how weak it's going to be? No Chinese Christians, just four little American Christians left, right? Do you understand there's going to be hundreds of millions of us around the world? Even in the book of Revelation, depending on your view of the timing of the rapture, even when you see this edict to kill all believers everywhere on the earth, Revelation chapter 7, when John sees this crowd of martyrs in heaven, from every tribe, every language, every people group, everywhere on the planet, and he asks who they are, and they come up out of the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Magali, the great, the tribulation, right in the middle part. Even when there is an edict to kill all believers on the planet, it fails. And the edict to destroy and annihilate all Israel, it ultimately fails. Not that they don't attempt. And someone says and asks throughout this conference, you know, well, how's it going to come down on us? What about those in Sudan? What about, you know, believers down in South Africa and South America and Russia? You know, back if you read Wombrandt's book, Marx and Satan, you'll read some pretty heavy-duty things that Russian communist atheists did to Christians in torture. The battle's not against flesh and blood, it is spiritual. Your enemy seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, we've gone over that too, so much already. Fuel behind all of the fire. The wrapping up, the possessions, the attachments, the visitations, the experiences, the events, the empowerments. It's been predicted. Biblical prophetic revelation says so. They are coming in unprecedented, unequaled numbers, as Revelation 18 shows the future, that demons are at home in the world. They are manifest globally. Every foul bird demon. You read Revelation 18, you'll see. Sleep paralysis is part of this. Why are now millions experiencing visitations? And it's not just your mind playing tricks with you. If you have something sitting on your bed pressing on you, what we found out and what you'll find out is ultimately the beings want sex. Astral projection. Now there are now millions involved. And you can read book after book after book. Some of them I hate to read, but talk to you. But then if you know what this is, I know what that is. Richard knows what that is. You know, it's funny to me that you got Elie Marzulli here, who followed a guru. You got Richard Grund here, who was an astral projector Catholic. And you got me, that was a combination of Cheech and Chong and trying to be a Buddhist. Can you imagine Cheech and Chong trying to astral project? And I've never heard a demon laugh. I don't know if there's any laughter there. I think they just get annoyed. Remote viewing, Stargate, Ingo Swan, Lynn Buchanan, Monroe, McMoneagle, hell put off, SRI at Sanford. And when you begin to take a look at this and millions of dollars U.S. government paid to help develop it, and now you got second and third generation remote viewers all over, all it is they go passive. It's sanitized astral projection. It's sanitized psychic work. And they go passive to allow data from somewhere to come into their head, and they get a picture and they get connected to see. What is that? A remote viewer trained at Buchanan from Stargate. I've got two-hour interviews with him. He turned to Christ, just wrote me again lately. He said, Rush, you can imagine in those rooms, you know, when you're supposed to have a person back here and you're the remote viewer and under coordinate remote viewing or technical remote viewing, you can feel not only the energy, but you can feel as if something walks into the room and is observing or guiding or helping. Ed Dames says that he remote viewed Satan. Ed Dames' words were, Satan was a cold, crystalline entity that scared the bejesus out of him. My words to Ed Dames, you didn't remote view Satan. He remote viewed you. He's more powerful. If remote viewers are being guided by dark presence to see what they want you to see, you're not going to see what God can show you. Your eyes will be cloaked. You'll be blinded. Charged objects, crystal skulls, like the icon of the Theron that will eventually speak and kill because spirit presence is on it. Charged objects like a ring, something you wear. Infiltration of the church. We have 2 hours of this on our website free, or it's written detailed in the book too. In the infiltration of the church that started in the 70s, these chosen ones sent in. One of the characteristics of infiltration is they like to give you a lot of gifts. Charged objects. Dedicated foods. They want to make you sick. They want to bring division. They want to cause trouble in your church. Sub-personality, sex-trained personalities want to corrupt your pastor. Demonized priestesses inside are releasing demonic presence right in the middle of the service. Charged objects are part of their stuff. They wear them. Charged people, like Mark chapter 5. Charged places, ritual sites, ancient gateways in Nephilim architecture. They are opening the old gateways to the old ones. Anybody working in the realm of satanic ritual abuse, these chosen ones, you're going to hear deep, dark, committed, cult, coven, loyal priestesses talk about the old ones. A year and a half ago in Connecticut, Groton, we were up in Groton, and Richard Grun put on a conference. Ellie was there. We were in a conference like this. When I was giving the details of Bohemian Grove, a chosen one stood up in the crowd, a German Nazi-speaking oriented sub-personality began to yell out, "You must cuff his head." He's telling the secrets and began to talk about the old ones. They took this person out and they began to go into their twilight languages. Ellie saw it face to face, and Richard Grun saw it face to face in the other room. They believe they're part of the Nephilim blood issue. They believe they're part of an ancient bloodline. Christ came from a bloodline. Does the Antichrist come from a bloodline? Demons summoned and sent, Revelation 16. Big issue. Hasn't happened yet, but it will. The weaponization of powers. The ramping up quickly. Those who were here Wednesday and Thursday, I'm glad you were here, but let me give you these real quick. In our ramping up of our lives, I might start to yell here, okay? The ramping up of our lives as believers in Christ is vital. The five A's is something I constantly mention, and it begins with awareness. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're not unaware. We are not willfully ignorant of the devil's schemes that he might outwit us. And everything we've been laying out here, as biblical revelation shows, and what we're seeing in the underground, you know, we're seeing his agenda. We're seeing his methodology. Be aware of charged objects and ritual warfare and astral projection and the New Age movement and crystal skulls and all that's going on. The gateways are going to be opened in December. Be aware. Awareness is big. You are here at a conference. You've tied into awareness. Paul says we are not unaware. That's a good thing. The Greek word means willful, just a willful not wanting to know, burying your head in the sand like the picture Richard showed us. Awareness, so that Satan might not take advantage. The more you know about spiritual warfare and its tools, the better, stronger, freer, less bothered you're going to be. I'm going to tell you that, and we've come from a lot of years of stuff. The more awareness and your application of spiritual warfare in preemptive ways keeps you freer and stronger, and you're able to respond quicker. Being alert, Colossians 4:2, gregoruo, great word, looking for the impending danger. The Word of God says, be filled with prayer, be filled with thanksgiving, being watchful. Incorporated in my daily life is prayer and thanksgiving, but I'm always being watchful, walking into the room, watchful. Looking at the crowd, watchful. Just ingrained in me. You gotta begin to ingrain that in you. Being watchful. Looking for the impending danger of the enemy. What's the enemy doing? What's going on? Heads up. Lord, is there anything going on? Lord, is the enemy sending anything? Am I aware of arrows? Just taking time to take a look so that you can unleash against anything you think's there. Authority, Luke 10. I have given you, perfect tense, with the abiding result that is abiding and remaining, and it's there. Authority to trample, to crush the demonic realm, to overcome Nike with decisive victory, all of the power of the enemy. And I think the more explicit you take that, and literal you take that, and appropriate that, and begin to use, you're going to find that you clear the air, that you deal with things, that it's you're going to see God's power coming out in the context of unleashing authority. So let me ask right now. An appropriation of authority is simply this: Lord, I acknowledge that you have given to me already authority, and I accept that authority with its mission to trample the dark side and overcome all of the power of the enemy, and you said nothing would harm me. You put that in there for a reason. You either let fear be a snare and quench the spirit and dampen your faith, or you will bust through that and stand with your faith lifted and yield it to God and let the Holy Spirit reign and acknowledge, I accept the authority and the mission of the authority and will use it as God leads me when I encounter stuff and use it. What I've tried to do the last 10 years, I decided, you know what, I'm going to try to use this on every level I'm supposed to. Every level I can possibly use authority, I'm going to try to go ahead and extend it. Astounding. If anybody wants to repeat this in the presence of the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I accept today as a believer in Christ. Anybody want to repeat it out loud? I accept today, as a believer in Christ, the authority you have given me that is inside of me. I accept it from you and the mission to trample the dark side, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and I acknowledge nothing will harm me. I trust in you for that. And I yield myself to engagement with deliverance and power encounters. I will not back away. I will trust your power, the power of the cross, the power of the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' name. And right now I rebuke and I renounce any demonic presence on my life, through my family generations, anything that attacked me on the way down, any arrows of the enemy. I renounce you. In the name of Jesus, get out. Leave. Don't come back. We pray right now in this place, if there's any demonic presence hiding anywhere, we command you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You're going to come forward. Ekbalo, you will come out. You will be commanded to leave. We ask the Lord to identify anything and anyone where somebody needs to be free. Attachment, arrows, or any levels of demonization. The armor of God is essential. The command is to put it on. Truth, righteousness. You accept and appropriate, but it's living out truth, righteousness, and so forth. Lifting up the shield of faith. Action is the putting into practice all of the Word of God. And you know what? That's all it takes. You taking the Word and understanding and putting into practice that Word till it becomes experiential and operative in your life. You will do, let me give you this. I'm throwing this out to you. Get ready to catch this, okay? Acts 9:22. Saul of Tarsus lost, he gets saved, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, he begins to do ministry, and here's what it says. He grew more and more powerful. I love you, I am grateful, and it is an astounding thing to see you here. And I get to be done with my 3 hours and watch the labor of the others.